Welcome to Goddaji. Goddaji is an invitation back to God. Hi, I'm Nani Sellis, and I will be guiding you on this journey. So many of us have grown up in traditional religions, structured religions, and that may have worked for many years of our lives, but so many of us are finding that the day has come where structured religions don't work for us anymore, where we're no longer able to fit into the mold of, you know, how someone else says we should be in order to relate to God. Many people on this planet have left the churches, have left religious institutions in search of their own definition of God. But let's face it, that path can be a very lonely one. That path can be often a very secretive one, because if you're not part of a religion, if you're not part of a church, if you're not part of some kind of structural spiritual beliefs, who do you have to talk to? No one, really. Most people keep their journeys with God very quiet inside their homes, inside their hearts, and that often hinders the journey. We grow through connection, we grow through conversation, we grow through exploration. And most exploration that's really powerful happens as a result of community, of connection. Goddaji is your answer to that. Goddaji is a journey. Goddaji is the journey back to God, but not just God as others saying God should be, but God as you discover God to be, whatever that means to you. I believe that our relationship with God is a very intimate relationship, that it's a relationship built on, well, trust and faith and knowing yourself. Over the next few months, we'll be exploring who God is, what God is. And I'm not asking you to accept anything that you hear on God or Jane. No, just the opposite. What I am asking is that you create your own questions and you find your own way back to God or to a deeper connection to God, whatever that looks like. It's interesting because I really hesitated about creating the show for quite a while. It was about a year and a half ago that one night I was in meditation and I got the whole download on Goddaji, and I was shown that I was to create Goddaji and that Goddaji would be live on the air and it would be this journey back to God for people who are looking for that relationship with God. And the reason that I hesitated for so long is because, well, it's not easy to talk about God for most people. I had to another radio show on LA Talk Radio, Chai with Nanise, and I talk about God every so often, but to tell you the truth, for months it took me many months to really say the word God live on the air because I was afraid of what people would think. Oh, will they turn away? Oh, is it bad to say God? You know, I said shit quicker than I said God. And yes, I do believe that there is room for almost any connection with God. And so this show that came about, and tonight is the premiere show, really came about after a heart-to-heart talk with myself, or maybe a heart-to-heart talk that God had with me. And I've come to this place in realizing that we shouldn't be hesitant about talking about God publicly, that we should be able to talk about God as freely as we talk about the weather. And in fact, I believe that this is what we're coming back to now. I believe that we are at this place in time where we're looking for that divine connection. And, you know, if the word God doesn't work for you, you change it to whatever works for you, divine, source, universe. It doesn't matter. You know what word works for you. The reason that I choose the word God for myself is because of the vibration that word holds. And it connects me directly to source as soon as I think or say God. Hence, Goddaji. Goddaji is God plus energy equals Goddaji. And when we really think about it, when we experience God, what we're really doing is experiencing God as a vibrational force inside of us and around us. And so Goddaji really says it all, the energy of God. That's what we're really all looking for. When we have relationships, whether they're marital relationships, parent-child relationship, friends, neighbors, what we're really looking for is the divine connection. We are either moving towards God or away from God. When we move towards God, it feels good. We feel joy and bliss. And when we move away from God, we feel pain. We feel discomfort. And that's actually a beautiful, beautiful design of the universe, that when it doesn't feel good, we want to change it. And when it doesn't feel good, we actually really want to move closer to God, whether we realize it or not. And so tonight, I invite you on the maiden. I invite you on the maiden voyage. Can't say that once. Three times fast. Yes, this is the maiden voyage of God or Jing. And to tell you the truth, I am really excited about where this voyage is going to lead. You see, I'm not the one leading the ship. There's someone just a little above me, to say the least, leading the ship. And I'm merely the channel. I'm merely steering the boat, but the guidance comes directly from higher above. So tonight, we're going to explore this concept of secondhand God. And in fact, a little bit later on in the show, I'm going to play a song for you called Secondhand God, which exemplifies exactly what we're talking about. But first, I'd like to introduce my guest for tonight, and my guest is April Perry Kreitzer. And April's been on a lot of my shows on LA Talk Radio, Chai with Nanise, and we've had many conversations about many, very intimate things. But I believe, if I'm not mistaken, this is our first public conversation about God.
Yeah.
So I don't even really know what your intimate relationship is with God. I mean, I know that, you know, privately we've talked about God in so many ways, but I started thinking about that today. I don't really even know what your intimate relationship is like with God. Would you share that with me?
Sure. For many years, I grew up actually LDS in the LDS church until I was about 17 years old. And
LDS standing for Latter-day Saints?
Latter-day Saints Mormon Church.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I grew up with just a lot of confusion and fear and wondering whether my actions were going to lead me to hell.
Mm-hmm.
So I grew up with a lot of fear, a lot of anxiety around God. And one day I remember just laying in my bed and thinking, why would God put me to hell? You know,
yeah.
Just trying to figure it all out. And because, you know, it's one hand, they talk about this very kind, loving God. And then another point, they talk about a hateful, spiteful God and
yeah.
not following the rules and different things like that. And I just felt really, really confused. And for many, many years, I really was confused and never really felt worthy and always tried to find the missing pieces in my life. And I always just felt something missing. Now I can say that missing part was me. It was that energy in the sense of feeling like I was controlling everything. I felt like that I was doing everything. I was controlling my life. And once I just started seeing a higher power, higher mm-hmm. energy, a higher God that was really moving through me.
Mm-hmm.
And once I just started listening to that voice, I saw my life just coming together.
So it sounds like you were brought up in a structured religion but never really got to know God until
right.
you started questioning it.
Mm-hmm.
And you start questioning, wait a second, something just didn't fit right. And I think that a lot of people are experiencing that and have been for a while. Like, something's just not fitting.
Right.
And it takes a lot of courage to leave the church.
Yes.
It really does. I was brought up Roman Catholic myself. My father was Jewish, and his family was very Jewish, Orthodox, and my mother's family was very Roman Catholic. And when my parents got married, my father agreed that whatever children they would have, because they got married in the Catholic Church, that he would bring up Catholic. And when I was born, I was christened, and when it was time for me to go to school, he enrolled me in St. Kevin's. And went there for about 5 years until I had a nervous breakdown, literally, in school. My mother came to take me home, and I whispered in her ear, I never want to come back here again. And I never did, and I went to public school. But the thing that I remember most is I had these two grandmothers, and one was very, very Jewish, and one was very, very Catholic. And I remember thinking at a really young age, well, how can they both be right? How can they both be right? And it just didn't make sense. And so, you know, by the time I was 12 years old, I started, you know, looking for my own answers. And here I was a 12-year-old, and I'm reading everything I can on spirituality and metaphysics and astral travel and reincarnation and, you know, anything that I could get my hands on. Thank God for a New York library card. And I started discovering, you know, God on my own terms. But I didn't talk about that. Right. You know, it wasn't something that you talk about. I didn't even talk about it with my parents, which was really interesting. And it was really kind of a secret quest.
Right.
And I think that's what a lot of people are experiencing now, these secret quests. And they don't realize that there's other people out there on the same quest. And maybe it doesn't have to be so secret anymore. Maybe we can actually, you know, join hands and come together.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, I think another big part of it is, like, when I was younger, I always thought that God couldn't speak to me. Like, I always felt like, well, you have to be a prophet, or you have to be this main person in the Bible. And I think that's when things really changed for me, when I actually just started speaking to God directly. And just how powerful that just felt to...
Yeah.
How good that felt.
Yeah.
You know, and I realized, you know, God didn't turn his back on me. It's just I never made that choice to be present and listen and to communicate.
You know, a lot of people, especially today, there's a lot going on in the world, and they feel, you know, God, yeah, you know, God has turned his back on me. And so I'm hearing you say that, you know, maybe that's not really the truth. Maybe we really turn our backs on God.
Yeah, I think we do.
Yeah.
Or we put a lot of pressure on God.
Oh, yeah. Poor God. Yeah. What do you mean by that? We put a lot of pressure on God.
You know, people pray, you know, for people to live, and maybe circumstances that person dies for whatever reason. And at the time, it's just like, why, God? Why?
Yes.
And there's just a lot of pain. And maybe there's a higher reason why that person chose to go, or different circumstances that we're not aware of. But yeah, it's just like that pressure that we expect that we know what's best, and we blame God.
Yeah.
If it doesn't turn out the way we think it should.
Right, because we know better.
Mm-hmm.
We know better. Yeah. I had a huge epiphany a few weeks ago, and suddenly I got it. And it was like I realized that, and without even understanding it, that I unconsciously thought I knew better than God. You know, it's like, oh, and you know, God always knows better. Like, when does God not know better? That's a good bumper sticker, you know?
Yeah.
Right? When does God not know better? Well, if you were to look at so many of our lives, it would look like, you know, we believe, you know, well, God only knows better, you know, 5% of the time, and that's only when I'm in crisis and have exhausted all my options and I don't know what else to do, then I'll turn to God.
Right.
But if God always knows better, then, you know, I would be a fool not to always turn to God first.
Right.
And so when I had this epiphany, I started laughing, and unfortunately I was in a group of meditation at the time, and I was not the one leading it. And I just, you know, I just raised my hands, like both hands up, and I go, look, God, no hands. Like, you know, like you're a little kid, you know, like you're a little kid, like, look, Mom, no hands on the bicycle. Look, Mom, no hands. And I go, look, God, no hands, no hands. And I thought it was hysterical. Nobody else was laughing, though. Maybe God was laughing. If God laughs. Do you think God laughs? Oh, that's a great question. Do you think God laughs?
I think all the time. You know, I know we've had many conversations on what's really real. And
yes,
the thing that we've come to is love is real. So
yes,
when you think of love, you think of laughter. So, and I believe God's made out of love. So
yes,
it goes hand in hand.
That's so profound. That's very cool.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
Because if you think of laughter, you have to be happy, you have to joy.
Mm-hmm.
It's uncontrollable.
Yeah. And if I were God, I would certainly be laughing all the time at me.
Yeah.
You know, I would just be laughing at myself.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. Osho, who is one of my favorite spiritual philosophers, and he died back in the 1990s. Otherwise, I'd have him on the show. Maybe I could get someone to channel him, and, you know, that would be interesting. Someday I'll channel him. That would even be more fun. He'll come through me. So he was, you know, he wrote over 600 books and was actually in the Guinness Book of World Records for writing the most books, which were really actually, you know, just people who followed him actually wrote what he spoke about. I don't think he ever actually sat down and wrote them, but same thing. And there's the autobiography, this book was actually published after he died, and it was called The Autobiography of an Incorrect Mystic. And it was about his life, and there's some photos in it. This is one of my favorite books. In the photos, he's smiling in, like, every photo. He looks like he's just laughing. He's completely at bliss that he gets it, you know. And I remember reading lots of things that he wrote that when, I'm going to paraphrase, but when you really wake up, when you really get it, there's nothing to be sad about. There's nothing to be depressed about. That everything is just so excruciatingly delightful and even funny. Yeah. And I remember there was this one photo of him in this book, and he was arrested, and he was in cuffs and shackles around his wrists and around his ankles. And I don't remember the exact reason for this, but there he is in this picture, and he's got this FBI all around him. And he's got this huge smile on his face. It was extraordinary. And I turned the page back, and there was another photo where he had been teaching and, you know, obviously in a happy, what we would consider a happy situation, he had the same smile on his face. It was like he didn't feel any different whether he was, you know, teaching a room full of delighted people or if he was, you know, being arrested by the FBI. And, oh my goodness, April, you should see the faces of the FBI. They looked so unhappy.
But that probably made him even more mad.
That probably did. Oh, so he's just smiling. He's got the shackles. Yeah. And so just a little interesting side note about that. So my son Travis, who's 15, he was looking at the pictures one day, and he said to me, he says, well, he goes, if I didn't do anything wrong, I'd be happy too. And I said, well, who's to define what's wrong? Right? So, yeah, if you didn't do anything wrong, you'd be happy too, assuming that Osho didn't do anything wrong. I don't even really remember why he was arrested. And so we got into this amazing conversation about perspective.
Right.
And so we were at an amusement park at this time, and a ride that he and I both refused to go on. So we were looking at these pictures in this book. And so I said, well, you know, it's like if somebody, you know, pulled a gun out here at the amusement park and shot someone, would that be wrong? And he said, yeah, that would be wrong. I said, what about, you know, if somebody's in war and has a gun and shoots somebody, would that be wrong? And he looked at me and I said, yeah, it's just perspective. So who's to say what's wrong? You can only decide for yourself what's wrong. And I love that concept in this conversation about God, because so often we're handed beliefs, even if it's not in structured religion, we're handed beliefs down from, you know, our parents and down from our peers, down from society about God and spirituality. And the only way I believe that we can really own them is to find out if they're true for us. If they're not true for us, then they don't work. We're at a time in our history where we are waking up. We are awakening. We are coming out of a long, long slumber. And I think a huge piece of that waking up is really looking deep inside ourselves and finding God firsthand. And in just a couple of minutes, we're going to be playing the song Secondhand God, and we'll talk about that more after the song's over. So when we give our power away to other people and other things, then we really don't have a firsthand experience of God. That the only way to know God is to really, you know, like you said, there was a point where you started talking to God and God started talking to you, and you both started listening to each other.
Right. It was a joint effort. You know, I always thought, you know, with God, you know, you pray. I didn't really realize that it was a communication thing going on mm-hmm. on both ends. So
yes.
That was really cool for me to see.
Yeah, because it really is.
Yeah, it really is.
It's so cool.
And sometimes he speaks to me in other ways that I have no idea, you know, like different mm-hmm. thoughts that come into my head or, mm-hmm. you know, just I'll see something or, you know, that's what's really cool is just keep an open mind.
So if you really think about it, God is always talking to us.
Right.
God is always speaking to us.
Right.
Yeah, we just have to learn to pay attention and to learn the language that God speaks in. Because sometimes it's, you know, it's words, but other times it's a flower or mm-hmm. the glance of a person that we pass by on the street or clouds in the sky or, you know, God speaks to me in license plates. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Stories you told
yeah.
me.
Yeah. Yeah, and in billboards on the side, any opportunity. And I'm always looking. Yeah. So should we play Secondhand God now?
Yes.
Okay, let's do that. And Secondhand God, it is, I wrote the words, and it is performed by Jade and the Ascension Tribe. So we will have it on in just a second.
To recognize that a secondhand God is just mirrors and lies. You cried out in the night, fears and tears and endless fights. I'll hold your hand if you set you free. It's not hard when you believe. Into the mountains, I slept in the streets, searched every great mind, but no one did I meet. I searched every house in the eyes of those who knew, but only to realize there weren't even a few. Endlessly I searched through all this facade, but all I ever found was just a secondhand God. I was looking for God in all the wrong ways. I thought I found him once or twice, but he'd never stay. Star-eyed baby of mine, open your mind, open your eyes. It's time to recognize that a secondhand God is just mirrors and lies. You cry out in the night, fears and tears and endless fights. I'll hold your hand if you set you free. It's not hard when you believe. Thank you. place to hide and no one else you could be. Why couldn't I see? You've always answered my cry. Now who am I? Why did it take me so long to buy? A second-hand God was all I could find. Until I stopped and turned the journey inside. Synchronicity rings true. It's now I finally see. It could only have been me. I shoot my destiny. Star eyed baby of mine. You've opened your mind. You've opened your eyes. Just now you've recognized that a second-hand God is just mirrors and lies. You cried out in the night. Fears and tears and endless frights. I held your hand, you set you free. It's not hard now, you believe. It's not hard now, you believe. It's not hard now, you believe. You
It's not hard. You just have to believe. The search is not outside of ourselves. The search is inside of ourselves. Every time we look outside of ourselves for anything, what we're really looking for is a secondhand God. And a secondhand God can never complete us. The truth is we're already complete. And that the search must be within. I believe that the reason that we experience pain in our lives is so that we stop looking outside. When there's pain, pain is an indication that something's wrong. And when I say pain, it could be physical pain, it can be emotional, spiritual. And it directs us inside, and that's the purpose of pain. It directs us to look at what might be wrong. It directs us inside. You know, it's really interesting because many of us know this now, that the journey's not outside, the journey is inside. So the next question should be, well, how do I get inside? How do I get inside? If the journey's inside, if the divine is found inside of me, how do I get inside? And the answer is so simple, and that is through our emotions. Our emotions are designed to get us inside. And it's really funny if you think about it, because if you're like me, you've been brought up to do everything you could to avoid feeling your emotions. Well, the good ones, you know, those you can feel. But any other emotions, sadness, hurt, even anger, jealousy, any emotions, oh, they're bad. We can't feel those. And so what we end up doing is we push them down. Many of us have addictions. We overeat. We, you know, drink. We do anything we can. We're on the adrenaline lifestyle. We're always going just so that we don't have to feel our emotions. Truth be told, the emotions are the key. And so instead of pushing them down and pushing them away, what we're being asked to do is to go with them, flow with them, and to feel them. And if you truly allow yourself to feel whatever it is that you're feeling, it will take you deep inside yourself. And yes, it can be scary, and you might feel alone, but if you keep going, I'll make a guarantee to you, and it's a personal guarantee, and you can call me up if you experience this any other way. That guarantee is that if you keep going through the emotions, through what might be a little scary or you might feel alone, that what you'll get to is the brightest light that you've ever imagined. You will get to divine source. You will get to God. You will get to what you're looking for. I don't care what you think you're looking for. What you're looking for is there. It's there. And what's required is a little bit of courage. To go deep, to allow your emotions to take you on that journey. because they will, and that's what they're designed to do. Now, you may have never heard this before, but I want you to try it on. See if that works for you. In fact, don't believe anything I'm saying. Don't believe anything that you hear on this show or any other show for that matter. Find out the truth for yourself. If there is a divine purpose to what we're sharing here tonight, it's that, for you to look within yourself and to find the truth for yourself, because it exists. Truth is eternal, and truth lies in each and every one of us. Truth lies in everything. We just have to have the courage to look and, you know, sometimes go into those darker places. But on the other side of that darkness is light. And like I said, the brightest light you could ever, ever imagine. You know, like the song says, there's no one else to be. There's no one else to be. Who would have thought? So many people on this planet today have changed their identities and, you know, done things to conform. They've sacrificed themselves because they think that there's someone else to be. If only I could be like this, or only I could be like that. But that price to pay is way too great. From the place of not being yourself, you won't find God. You can't find God. What you will find is pain and discomfort. Pain and discomfort. But again, that pain and discomfort is divinely designed. Oh, I love that. Divinely designed to lead you back into yourself. And that also means having some courage to really discover who that is. Who am I? Who am I? Know thyself. It is the answer to all problems. Know thyself. Be who you really are. Whatever problems you might have in your life right now, they are a result of not knowing yourself. And so, of course, the answer is know thyself. Know thyself. Know thyself, and all else falls into place beautifully, divinely. It's easy. It's easy. It's definitely something to say yes to, because it will change your life. It will change your life. And so, April, I remember, so I wrote that song about a year ago, I think, and it has meant so many things to me on so many different occasions. And I remember several months after I wrote it, and you were very pregnant at the time, yes, right? And you couldn't sleep one night, and you had, and I was up writing, and you came into my bedroom, and April's my daughter-in-law, and we live in a big house in Sandy, Utah, and you came into my bedroom, you sat on my bed, and you couldn't sleep, and you were upset with me for something. Do you remember that?
Vaguely not.
Yes, so I had asked you to do something earlier that day, and you said yes, but you really didn't want to say yes. Do you remember that?
Vaguely.
Mm-hmm.
And I think part of it's that I just kind of let it go so much I don't even remember.
Right, that's really good. I really like it when people get mad at me and then don't remember what it is afterwards. Well, so it was, I had asked you to do something. I had asked you to give these books to these girls. Do you remember?
Oh,
yes.
Okay.
And you said yes. And then and the girls never even arrived to get the books, which is, it's really funny. So it was never about the girls, it was about you. And you realized that you had said yes to me when you wanted to say no, because you really didn't know how to say no to me. And we ended up getting into this amazing conversation. And it was about, you know, how all these years that you were, you know, that you were looking to me for guidance. And I've definitely been a mother figure to you and have loved every minute of it. And I pointed out that quite possibly that you have been handing your power away to me. And maybe, you know, for many years, and when you were younger, like you needed that guidance, but now here you are, this young woman about to be a mother yourself, and maybe it's time to take back that power, that I no longer, you no longer have to, you know, look up to me, that now, you know, you can look at me and see somebody who you are on an equal level with, and not somebody that you need guidance from me. And so we had this amazing conversation in the middle of the night, And then I looked at you and you looked at me and I said, it's secondhand God. And you said, I was just thinking that. And we played it. And at that moment, it got just a whole grander meaning. Yeah. Because, you know, secondhand God could be anything. You know, it's like, so secondhand God can be, you know, oh, I love you so much that I'm going to look to you for guidance. No matter how much you love that person or that person loves you, they can be the best, you know, spiritual being in the world, the best guru. But as long as, like, you're putting them on the pedestal and you're going to that person, then you'll never have a direct relationship with God yourself.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. And that night, there was a huge shift in our relationship, wasn't there?
Oh, yeah. It hasn't been the same. I found my power. I found my strength. You know, I always felt that I wasn't worthy or I wasn't good enough. So I always looked to you and other people that I really looked up to find my glory, you know. If mm-hmm. they saw it, then okay, it must be there. I never took it for myself.
Yes.
So that was the night I started to see it for myself.
And what changed? What changed in your life? What changed inside of you?
I just say I just started listening to myself. I started giving myself credit. I valued myself. I just really heard, you know, the thoughts, the voices in my head. And they're always there, you know. And what does that mean? It's, you know, I think we all get them, you know, just different thoughts of different things we want or what we want to do, what we want to be. You know, they were always there. I just kind of shut them off. And so it was like they were back again, you know, just this, I want to live my life and I want to be happy and just want joy in my life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
And I didn't think that it was possible.
Why didn't you think it was possible?
I didn't think I was good enough for it.
Really? Wow. I have a feeling a lot of people listening can identify with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought, well, it's not for me, it's for someone else.
Mm-hmm. But it was for you.
Right.
Yeah. And so, who is it not for?
It's for everyone.
It's for everyone. Yeah. But we have to arrive at that ourselves.
Right.
So it's like, I told you that for years, but you didn't believe me, did you?
No. I couldn't see it.
You couldn't see it. Oh. Yeah. It was only when you stopped looking to me or anyone else that you started to see it in yourself.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I feel like just the last 5 months, my baby is 5 months now, and I see my life differently. You know, it's just, it's magical. You know, I just see my own strength. I see my own power. I see me doing all the things. I see me taking care of him. You know, I was scared before I had him, you know, of my ability to take care of him, different things like that. And I'm just watching myself.
Yes.
You know, and it's even just everyday things, but it's just like I'm seeing the glory in myself. I'm seeing what I really am, which is love.
Yes.
Everything I do for him is love. Everything I do for myself is love.
Yes. Yeah.
And I think it's something magical when you become a parent. It really changes how you think.
Yes. Especially becoming a parent who is already empowered.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, it changes everything. So I'm wondering if any listeners would like to call in and share their experience of what their relationship is like with God, or ask any questions, or even call in if you would like us to put you on the prayer list, and also if you'd like to get on our prayer circle, if you'd like to have a prayer said for you or for someone that you love, just go to my website at nanice.com. That's nanice.com, nanice.com. And on the right link side, you'll see the prayer circle, and just prayers are free, so just email me and we'll put you in the prayer circle and say prayers for you. And we've had miraculous things happen for people who have taken part in that. And also, if you would like to be part of the prayer circle and in doing healing work and saying prayers for people who would like to be prayed for, please email me from there as well. But if you'd like to share a few moments with us today on the air, please call 888-815 888-815-9756. Again, 888-815-9756. And I would love to hear from you. The show is about you. And it's really interesting because the mere fact that you're listening now, whether you're listening live or you're listening to an archived show, your participation counts. Your energy counts. We are constantly changing the environment around us by observation. And whenever we become aware of something through any sense, we're actually having an effect on that which we are paying attention to. So having said that, thank you for your participation. And if you'd like to participate even more, just give us a call tonight or next week or any time that you'd like. So, hi, you're on the air. You're on Goddardy. Who am I speaking with?
Well, wouldn't you like to know? It would be Kathy.
Hi, Kathy. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. I'm just loving the program.
Thank you.
And the song, Secondhand God, came through so beautifully. And I was hoping that you would mention the artist of the song.
I actually I did.
I might have been because I was in contact with her and I wasn't listening at that time.
Uh-huh.
So I
wrote the words, and then after I wrote the words, they were actually channeled to me. And then I called my dear, dear, beautiful friend Jade, and I said, can you make this into a song? And she and her musical group, the Ascension Tribe, did just that. And I was absolutely blown away. She just brought it to life. So, and also, yeah. Kathy, that reminds me, if anybody would like to download that song for free, again, just go to my website at nannice.com, nannice.com, and again, on the right link column, there's a free song download link, so you can just go there and download the song for free. Yeah. So, Kathy, I'm so glad you called in tonight, and I know that you have definitely had a journey with God.
Oh, definitely. And you know, what really amazed me was listening to you, how similar our paths were initially, you know, because I was born and raised in a Catholic Irish family and went to the Catholic schools. The only thing I didn't do was have a nervous breakdown. But I did not like it. And I didn't start public schools until junior high. Mm-hmm. So, and my understanding of God, and see, I never even knew through all of the religious upbringing I had as a Catholic, I didn't even realize there was such a thing as the Bible, because it was Catholicism, it was catechism that was taught, and the Bible was never shared with us, you know, and I had reached, and I even wrote it in one of my assignments to you, about this point of understanding in my life that God was everywhere that I came to realize, and God was in everything. But the one place I could not find God was in me, because being brought up the way I was, I believed that I was a sinner, and I had to go to every Saturday where we reveal our sins. What do you call that?
Confession.
Our penance, say our Hail Marys,
yes,
and our Fathers and everything. But yet I could go outside and find God in the world, in the rainbows and the little worms and the cracks and all of that. And so I created my own version of God, but I, for many, many years, could not find and understand that all of the beauty and magnificence that I could see in God and the world around me, that I was also a part of.
Mm.
You know, I felt I was separated because I wasn't worthy enough, you know. I wasn't good enough to be one of God's children because I had sinned throughout my childhood, from whether I used my mom's shampoo or stole a cookie or pinched my brother or whatever. You know, I was doing penance all the time. and then I realized that I did not have to confess all these sins anymore. So I'd go to confession and just say I was a good girl because I couldn't get to it. But I started creating this image of a loving God in my life. And that was a God that, you know, would hold me in his arms and cradle me and make everything all right. And as I had gone through my years of, you know, spiritual searching and reading so many books and looking for answers everywhere like you did, you know, that didn't come until my 20s, where it came to you much earlier. I finally created and understood, and I think it was actually when I came into sobriety, that God was all and in all, and that I was a part of that. And it was a huge, huge awakening for me to realize that I was made in the image and likeness of love. You know, so that's all I really wanted to contribute. And
thank you, Kathy. So
amazing. Thank you.
Thank you so much, sweetheart. It was beautiful. Yeah. Yeah. That I love what Kathy said about God is everywhere. You know, God is in the rainbows, and God is in the birds, and God is everywhere. I was never taught that as a child either, were you?
No.
So I'm curious. So now you beautiful baby, you know, he's 5 months old, almost 6 months old, and
right.
and what will you teach him about God? Oh, I've never asked you this question before. This is a great question. I'm sitting on the edge of my seat.
Well, I think it's important for him to come up with his own ideas of God, but mm-hmm. I'm just going to share what my views are, and mm-hmm. I think God is in all of us and all things, and mm-hmm. I think it's just this beautiful love energy, and I mean, I don't know if there's really one word for God. I think
right.
it's just a little bit of everything. It's just high vibration. Honestly, what one of my favorite stories is the Little Boy and the Soul book.
Oh, yes.
I want to share that
yes.
book with him.
Mm-hmm.
I think that puts a beautiful perspective on God.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So. Absolutely. Do you think that without any guidance that we can, that the children would naturally discover God on their own? And what I mean by that, let's say there was a bunch of children on a deserted island, like Lagoon, remember Blue Lagoon,
right?
Right, Brooke Shields, and, you know. So do you think that it's a natural instinct to discover God, or do you think that
yes.
it's something that has to be? Yeah,
I think so.
Yeah, I do too. Especially now, I have a I was shown one day that the Earth is. Been very much of an experiment in a sense, and so to see if we would find our way back to God. So we've had amnesia for a very, very long time, and what that means is that we don't remember our connection to God, that we've moved away from God, and would we find God again? And part of the awakening that I believe we're experiencing now is that we are finding God again, that we're moving closer to God. And if you look around the world, especially, you know, the last few decades, it would certainly look like we were moving as far away from God as possible. And I think that's part of it, that there's a swing from one end to the other, that you know, the pain mounts so much that you do turn that journey inside.
Right.
And you find divine source eventually. And so it's part of this waking up is actually just remembering who we really are and remembering God, and that God is inside of us, and that there is an intuitive and maybe instinctual even is the right word, journey to finding God. But very often it means leaving everything that we have ever known behind us.
That's true. That's
and that true. Can be pretty scary.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what would you say to people now who are, you know, still holding on to structured religion, but it's not working for them anymore? You were in a structured religion up until about the age of 16.
Right.
And then that was not a coincidence that you met me and your now husband at that time. And after that, you left the church. But what would you say that to people who are in, you know, a structured religion, it's not working for them? And I do want to do a little disclaimer here. That there definitely are religions that work for people.
Right.
And there are beautiful, beautiful religions, and even different facets of the very same religion works. And that's great. If it works for you, oh, beautiful, beautiful, that's beautiful. I want to hear from you too.
Right.
But if it doesn't work, and you're looking for something more, you're looking for a better fit, you're looking for a relationship with God on your terms, then often the best thing to do is to let go of what doesn't work. And that's not just in religions. We're talking about in relationships and in jobs and everything. If it doesn't fit, if it doesn't work, if it doesn't feel good, it's because you've grown. You've outgrown something, or maybe you never fit, and it's time to figure out what does fit. It's time to know thyself. So that's my little disclaimer. Nothing against religion. I am in complete support of finding whatever fits for you. So, so go ahead.
So for me, I think my personal experience was keeping an open mind. I got to the point where I just really didn't necessarily believe everything. I just kind of left the door open to all possibilities.
Yes.
And to me, when I did that, it was just freeing, because it was just that freeing possibility of no matter what I do, I'm not going to go to hell. Because that was honestly, that's
was a scary. Pretty scary one. Yeah. If you want to control somebody, you just tell them. It's not just punishment here. It's eternal damnation. Yes.
And honestly, I just have dreams and dreams and dreams that I was going to hell. I was going to hell. And that was really scary for me. And just keeping that open door open for me. And I guess what really helped for me is I just thought of all these people throughout history, these gracious, loving people, all different religions and all types. And, I just saw everybody as one. I mean, it's all the concept. If you look at it, what were they going for? It was love. It was peace. Mm-hmm. They wanted to help people. And, you can look at Buddha, Mother Teresa, all these beautiful people. They just wanted to help people, and they just brought love.
Yeah.
And I was looking at it, and none of them were wrong. They were all right.
Exactly. Exactly.
So I just keep an open mind.
Yeah.
We all want the same things.
Absolutely. Beautifully said.
Yeah.
Thank you, April. Thank you for joining me on the premiere of God or G, and you'll definitely be back on the show in the near future. Thank you, sweetheart.
Thanks.
Yes. We all want the same things, don't we? We all want the same things. We all want love. Maybe we don't think about it that way every day, but it's true. We want love. When we move towards love, we're moving towards God. When we move away from love, when we experience judgment or anger or hatred, we're moving away from God. And how we feel will always tell us the direction that we're moving in. We feel good, we feel blissful, we feel joyful. Guess what? We're moving towards God. We don't feel so good. We're judging. We, feel separate, disconnected. Guess what? We're moving away from God. We actually have a natural gauge within ourselves. That gauge is telling you which direction you're moving in. That gauge is a divine gauge that will allow you to monitor and navigate your direction. What direction do you want to go in? Personally, the direction that I want to go in is towards God, towards love, towards connection, towards oneness. This is where bliss and ecstasy is found. Bliss and ecstasy are never found in the direction moving away from God. Never. It's not possible. The thing is, every moment we have a choice. Every moment there is a communication going on between us and the divine, allowing us to know which direction we're going in, and then to choose again. At any moment, you can choose again. Forgiveness is a U-turn. I've never thought about it like that before, but it is. Forgiveness is a U-turn. Forgiveness is a portal back to God. Whenever we're holding a grudge or pain in our heart towards ourselves or towards someone else, it simply is about a judgment, and we're moving away from God. And when we choose forgiveness, and we'll do a whole show about forgiveness because it's huge. It's a huge topic when we're talking about God. When we choose forgiveness, we're making a choice for love, for God, and we move towards God. We have free will. And this is really the core of our free will. Which direction do you choose to move in? I hope you join us week after week on God or G. I hope you participate, either that's from your comfy living room, or you come on the air with us and share your experiences with God. I want to hear from you. I want to know you. Please come. Go to my website at nanice.com. It's nanice.com. Again, nanice.com or nanice.com, and email me from there. Let me know about your relationship with God. Let me know if you want to be on the show. Let me know what questions you have or what you'd like to hear us talk about. And while you're there, remember to download Secondhand God, and also this free book downloads and articles and tons of free stuff that you will absolutely love and will change your life. And make sure to sign up for Divine Inspiration. It's a daily inspirational that has changed lives, thousands of lives around the world, and I would love for you to be a part of that as well. And tell your friends about us. Tell your family about us. Tell anybody about us who you feel might want to have that deeper connection with the divine, with God. So, to end the show, just know that you are loved, that there is a divine being, whether you call that being God or anything else, that loves you no matter what you do. And that love is unconditional. That love is eternal. That love is what you and everything in the universe is made of. You are love. You are love. You are love. You are love. Till next week, you have been listening to God or G. I'm Nanice. Have a beautiful week.